Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
What up?
No, I need to be in space.
You look like you're in fucking Barbie Dreamland right now.
Dude, I love it. It's like so much. Like, especially like when I get on calls with my clients, like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, yeah, I'm here to make a statement. I have a really big knot in my hair and I can't find my phone. It's been a wild day, man.
Jesus.
Well, like, I woke up and I kind of felt like shit today.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's kind of been sick, like a little bit of like runny nose. And then, like, my throat was kind of sore. I feel better now, but. Holy shit. I've had like a 10-day headache since I'm on like a caffeine hiatus.
Got you. Got you.
So that's kind of where we're at. Okay, so I'm ready to fucking chat. So how was your week?
It was good. I'm feeling a little banged up, not gonna lie. Like, not in like a bad way. It's just like, you know how it is when you train really hard consecutively for a really long time, your body starts to like kind of get a little wear and tear, and I'm starting to feel it. I'm starting to feel that wear, starting to feel that tear.
Bro, I feel that. Like, I've been feeling that. Actually, I've kind of felt like that since I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's, because like before that, I was like a 6-day trainer
Dude,
training.
same. Like a 7-day active abs, you know what I'm saying?
Ugh, dude, yeah. Like, I used to have it programmed active rest, and I'm like, oh, first of all, what the fuck is that? Second of all, oh, I hate when people ask me that too. Like, I get clients like, so like, do I have like an active rest day? I was like, well, what do you mean? They're like, where I can do like abs and cardio and, you know, just like something light and like, you know, maybe 15,000 steps. I'm like, so you want like another workout day? Like, what the fuck,
Yeah, like
dude?
20,000 fucking steps is not active rest. That's a fucking exercise addiction disorder. And like, just call it what it is. You don't know how to calm down. You don't know how to rest. You don't know how to sit on your ass, read a book, watch some TV, or just sit with your thoughts. It's usually an avoidance behavior. And like, we've all been there. Like, it's not like mean or calling you out. Like, Ash and I have been there. And it's like, just sit the fuck down. It's okay. It is okay to sit. Doesn't mean you're fucking lazy. It doesn't mean you're going to get fat. When you train like an athlete, you need to rest. You have to rest, or else you're just going to dig yourself into this big fucking recovery hole and you end up looking like an asshole. So don't do that. Don't do it. Get some help.
No, yeah, I actually just signed a new girl, and I think we used to be teammates on a different team, and she was like, it was just like funny because she's a mom of two, and she's like, yeah, like right now, like, you know, I'm doing 3 days a week. I just need to be held accountable. It's hard for me because I'm a mom, X, Y, and Z. Okay. Going over her program, I'm like, hey, like, do you want 3 days or do you want four? Just so I know what to design. Like, what can you do like with the childcare you have? Cause I have to take those into consideration, X, Y, and Z. And she's like, oh, 4 days would be good. I can definitely make that work. I said, okay, cool. So I designed this program. It's 4 fucking days. And then she messaged me. She's like, well, what about a fifth day? I'm like, girl, you literally just told me that you're only going 3 days right now. And I added in a fourth day. And now you want a fifth day. And we haven't even tried 4 days out yet. Like, relax. And then I was like, you know what? If you are training as hard as I fucking want you to, I'm gonna get real close. As hard as I fucking want you to for those 4 days, trust me, you're not gonna want a fifth day.
That's
You're not
what
gonna
I'm
want to
saying,
do a fifth
dog.
Day.
Like, if Austin was like, hey, we're gonna train another fifth day, I'd be like, you in what army? Like, this, like, no.
I trained 4 days last week and one of them was being in person with Mark. And I'm like, dude, yeah, I'm training maybe twice this week. Like, I fucking can't. Like, I just like, I'm like, oh, where, like, where and when did I, was I able to do? I mean, granted, I probably wasn't training hard, you know, three, when I was doing 6 days a week 3 years ago, I was probably training like a pussy, but I just like, just thinking about,
you felt like you were being accomplished because your volume was so fucking high that you were centrally exhausted. At least that's how it was for me, where you felt like you were like being like really intense, but in reality, you were just doing a bunch of junk volume and like not giving your body the ability to rest. And again, we've all been there, but like when you learn how to fucking train and take a set to either true failure or within a rep or two shy, bitch, you don't want more because you want to rest because you're fucking tired. Your muscles hurt. Like, I can't wait to eat my meal after the podcast and watch some Walking Dead because my ass hurts.
Yeah, dude. Like, I think you texted me that the other day that your ass hurts.
I literally, like, let me pull it up. It's, we were talking about something. You were being so nice and just saying how much I, you know, helped you with like your growing phase and eating more food. And I literally text you, I love you. Thank you for keeping me going. And then like 20 minutes later, my ass hurts. Period.
Yeah, dude. Like, honestly, that's how I am today. My hamstrings actually hurt today. But yeah, it's, but I mean, hey, that's why I texted you, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because essentially it's like this is like me and you have been doing this for like the last couple of years. I mean, granted, I had like a little bit of a detour because I was pregnant, but like the hard parts of bodybuilding that like people don't really know are hard because it's not prep, and people only think prep is hard, but like working, you know, both of us have been building our athlete roster up, our competitive athlete roster. And like, I'm sure you see it. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm ready to prep. Like, that's going to be the hard part. But like, I also think there's a lot of hard in the off season for people that like, you just either don't realize, or you don't really like it. I mean, it is hard and no one talks about it.
I feel like it's a lot of the things where it's like, people are so quote unquote mentally aggressive with their goals, but when push comes to shove and reality sets in, where a lot of this is like monotonous day in and day out, and you have to be prepared, you have to stick to a schedule because that's how you're going to ensure consistency for the long term. Then, like, the little itch to want to change things or deviate or cheat starts to like look really attractive, giving into those kind of like instant gratifications. When in reality, it's like, if you want to be a professional, you better buckle the fuck in and act like it. Like, don't tell me that you want to be a professional athlete when you're like taking cheat meals left and right because you can't stick to your fucking plan. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we need to have like a real sit down conversation as to what your actions are like showing, because that doesn't lie, and how that's impacting your long-term progress.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then the caveat on that too, though, like, it's like people who, a lot of people who don't follow their program are also like fucking coaches now. And honestly, my athletes are one of my biggest motivators. Like, oh, if I'm asking them to do something, then like I need to be willing to do it too and have to follow through on it. Right. Because like, what kind of fucking bullshit would that be if like I'm a hypocrite, you know? So like some of like the people that I have coached in the past or whatever, or currently coach, like they're coaches as well. And I'm like, you guys are fucking off on your plan. Like, what do you do for your athletes? Like, we need to have a conversation about this, because like, you need to set a good example, not only for yourself and your goals, but like for everyone else that you're trying to guide down this journey as well.
Dude, if you're a coach and you are actively like, this is really important, because there are plenty of coaches out there that don't have competitive bodybuilding goals, that don't like actively work on competitive physique goals. They may have other goals, financial goals, relationship goals, you know, maybe performance goals. Like, that's a big thing happening right now. That's fine. They're progressing in how they want to progress. But if you are a physique competitor and you are fucking off in your plan, shame on you. Shame on you for not respecting yourself enough. Shame on you for not respecting the sport enough. And shame on you for not being a leader. It's time to grow the fuck up. Like, that really, really gets under my skin.
Yeah. And like, you know, what's funny is I had this conversation with Mark. So I had an in-person training session with Mark on Saturday, and we were talking about like my goals and my future and like when would be like an appropriate time to prep. And I was like, Mark, I think I have a mental block talking about prep. And he's like, well, why? And I was like, I don't think I deserve it. And he's like, well, why not? What do you mean? And I was like, since having my child, like, I'm not sleeping through the night, you know, like my sleep is shitty. I'm staying up later because X, Y, and Z, like that's when I can get stuff done because he is sleeping. Or I drink the occasional too much caffeine here and there. And I'm like, those things in me, if I'm doing them in my off season, like that doesn't for me correlate with having the, or being deserving of prep. Because I don't want to be that person. Because like, when I look at my athletes and when I tell them during their check-ins, it's like, hey, I want this, this, and this. Like, while we're in prep, because it is that fucking serious and like these are big goals. If I'm not even doing that, like, why am I even gonna go and prep? Like, you know what I'm saying? He's just like, dude, like, you're not like that. And I was like, I understand that. But like, for me, like, I have this mental block of like, when is the right time going to be if I can't check these small boxes on the off season, you know? So like, if you're not checking them in the off season, like, you're gonna fucking find corners to cut when you're in prep.
That also like coincides with like the on off switch for prep, and it's like, for fuck's sake, it in my opinion, it doesn't need to be like that, and it shouldn't be like that. Like, I understand that there needs to be more flexibility in your off season for the sake of longevity and the risk of burnout. You want to lower that because as a bodybuilder, your biggest asset is consistency and time. And if you're willing to be consistent over a long period of time and you're doing the right stuff, you are going to be more successful in building muscle, having your health, having a life. But when you're like, oh, well, like 2 weeks until prep starts, and I gotta have my last fucking, Last Supper Jesus meal, and I gotta make sure that I'm doing, it's like, it should just be another day. The only change is on your coach's end with cutting your food, maybe increasing some expenditure. Like,
Dude.
it's just, it doesn't need to be a big orchestrated thing.
It is though. I had like a girl I was talking to on Instagram. She's a competitor and she's pregnant or something. And she's like, oh man,
Something. I mean, is she
something.
pregnant or not?
Oh, she is. She is. I mean, I don't really know her that well. Like, we are on like in some Facebook group together, and someone was asking about breastfeeding and prepping, and
Oh,
I
okay. I
commented.
was like, is she pregnant or just like got fucking
She
fat,
having I don't think she
SIBO?
I don't think she's told social media yet. So,
Got you.
she told me in DMs or whatever. She's like, yeah, like I'm newly pregnant or whatever. Nonetheless, besides the point, but she was just saying how sick she is. And she's like, this is crazy because now I have to watch everything. She's like, and I feel, I don't even know what the how it came up, but she's just like, yeah, it's just like the free week before you start prep. And I was like, what's the free week? And she's like, the week before prep where you just kind of like eat whatever the fuck you want all week because you're not going to have those things in prep. Oh, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, what? I was like, I'm literally like, I don't understand. Like, why would you do that? And she was like, well, like, because you're just like really restrictive in prep. So it's like you want to get all those foods in because you're not going to have them for 12 or 16 weeks or whatever. And I was like, that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever fucking heard in my entire
Good
life.
for you.
And I was left on read, but I don't
That
care.
literally, that, you know what that reminds me of? That sounds like someone about to get the electric chair and it's just like, let's do it. Like, let's go orgies. Let's fucking do cocaine, methamphetamine. And I want like a big ass thing of ice cream. Just fuck it all to hell because I'm about to die. That is
Yeah.
stupid.
I was literally like, okay, that was like, that's so fucking dumb, but like, whatever, it's, I mean, again, it's just like you said, like, there shouldn't be like an on off switch. And I can understand, like, sometimes, like, that mentality for specific clients can be good because, like, then that's actually like when you start to see them like adhere, like, they need that switch for some reason. But like, for
But
me,
then they
you,
haven't earned the prep. It's kind of like going back to your mental block. It's like if you need that like on off switch to stick to your plan, then you don't care enough about your goals. Not you. You
no,
do.
yeah.
Because you hold
So
yourself to a higher standard.
sometimes I'm just like, yeah, like I've done it where like I've even done this with like lifestyle clients where I'm just like, all right, like we're gonna go into a diet phase in the next like 3 weeks. I think in 3 weeks we'll start. But like I wanna see like what progress we can make before these 3 weeks so I don't have to be so drastic. I don't want to be so drastic to the point where like you're starving. And what do you know? In those 3 weeks, like a lot of them will like start losing weight because they've just started cleaning up whatever fucking shit they were lying to me about in the first place, like using 10 pounds of barbecue sauce on their chicken. And I'm like, oh wow, like we're doing really good here.
Yeah,
Like I
just
don't
opening up a barbecue joint just on their meal plan.
like okay, so and I'm just like, wow, like this is great. I was like, wow, I don't think I really have to make that many adjustments, or I think it'll be, yeah, I'm like, we're doing really good here. I don't know what happened in the last 3 weeks, like maybe better sleep or something, unless there's something you need to fucking tell me. But no, yeah, I'll like drop little hints like that, and then you'll start to see people like either A, like they have like that euphoric like dopamine hit of like, oh yeah, I'm gonna diet and I'm gonna start looking so good. I better just start checking my boxes now anyways. And then it's like, oh cool, like I really don't have to make that many changes. But like it also too goes to show that's like, hey, like, oh well, here comes 3 weeks later, I don't have to make any changes. So then it's really not a big fucking deal because it's like, oh well, we've already kind of been dieting, like you've already lost weight. So You know, it's like you get the hype and then it's like anticlimactic on my end because I'm like, actually, we're not doing that because you're already losing weight. Cool.
And to me, it's actually not the hype. What you're doing is you're challenging them. And we love a challenge. As human beings, we love to feel challenged in the right mindset. But if you view everything instead of as a challenge, as an obstacle, then that's where you get in your own way. Because usually it's that all or nothing mentality. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, speaking of that, so Olivia, my bikini girl that I've coached for like years, I put her in a cleanup phase right at the beginning of January, and I've made one adjustment, and I'm just like, last week I was like, oh man, like we still dropped. I've made some training adjustments, like I added a little bit more volume, and I'm like, ah, I really don't want to add cardio in yet, just because based on her history, she has had like surgery for her heart and things like that. So I'm just like, you know, I just want to see what we can do. And she's like, please, please don't give me cardio. Like I can do better in the gym. I can push myself harder. Like she's someone who's like, let me prove you wrong with what I have. And I'm like, I love that. And then like, you know, she's like, oh, I've been, you know, just like, not that it's like overly matters. She's like, yeah, but I think I can pull back on like how much of condiments I've been using, and that's gonna help X, Y, and Z. Not that like mustard has like a bunch of shit in it, but like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like,
I
it's
got you.
just cool to see people like that because you give them a little bit of a challenge. It's like, no, like I want to keep losing weight with like less, like, you know? And I think that that's so fucking cool. Like, you know?
Absolutely. It's like getting excited about your progress because like when you work with a coach, it's not for the coach's benefit. God, I hope not. I hope it's because you have goals that you want to achieve and you need help to do so, which is why when you work with a coach, you're not paying. God, this is something that really upsets me. You're not paying for changes. You are paying for accountability, for progress, for moving the ship forward. If your coach is having to change things every single week for either novelty or because something's wrong, that's not usually a good thing. Like we make changes because we're either troubleshooting a fucking problem or we're making changes to make sure you are moving the ship forward for progress. But don't mix up getting changes on a week-to-week basis as, oh, I'm progressing. Because like I said, either your coach is making an adjustment because your ass isn't adhering to your programming and they're having to like lower the expectation and lower the bar so that way you can at least meet the bare minimum to help build you to your goals, or we are making an adjustment to make sure we're staying on track. But like you're not paying for changes. That's just not how you should view working with a coach, bodybuilding or otherwise. You're paying for progress. You are paying for consistency and accountability. And you are paying for, honestly, peace of fucking mind. Because how many of us would lose our goddamn mind trying to manipulate and adjust every single fucking variable that both Ash and I take into consideration with our clients? Most people can't handle that. Ash and I can't. That's why Ash has Austin and Ash has Mark.
I mean, yeah, like when I make changes, and like you said, like I like pfft, all right, this is gonna sound conceited as fuck, but I know you can relate to it. Like when I design a client's program, because I know me and you sit down and take like time, a lot of time to design a program. It's
Because
not
we know we do our jobs.
Dude, I will like take like at least 48 hours to do someone's plan. Like I'll start working on it. I'll back away for a little bit. I'll come back, like think of new things. I'm just like, you know, I don't just like sit down and like bust it out in 30 fucking seconds because that's copy and paste. But back to what I said, and I don't mean this to be like in a conceited way, but I know you're like, this is like when I make that plan should fucking work. So I should not have to make changes for like a few weeks, to be honest with you, unless, you know, we're troubleshooting or trying to fix a problem. There should be no fucking reason that I have to make a change. Like, honestly, unless there is like a grand issue, but the plan I have for you should stimulate the progress and align with the goal that we're trying to achieve here. And I think people get that wrong. I actually had someone was like, oh, I thought we were gonna make changes every week. Like, you'd give me more cardio and drop my food every week. I said, what the fuck? What? Like,
Like,
why did you come thinking that? Like, who told you that? Who
well, I
told you?
think because like early 2000s, like 2015 earlier, like that's what coaching was. It was like these little micro adjustments for novelty, just to get those little hits of like, ooh, progress and progression. And we lost sight of when you hire a coach. You work with a coach, it is to progress, to reach your goals. But that doesn't mean that you're going to receive changes every single week. Or if you're bored with your programming, I'm sorry. I could not imagine emailing Austin right now being like, I'm bored. Fix up my, change my training. No, I don't want new fucking training. I want myself to get better at my training. More weight, more reps, better engagement, better execution, better connection. That's on me, dog. That is not on Austin. If Austin tells me that I need a new training program, he will make that fucking decision. I am not going to just email him being like, I'm bored, Austin. Bruh, he probably would like fucking slap me through the computer screen. And you know what? I deserve it.
I don't like training changes because, like you said, like I have the same thing. Like I like working on certain movements and like setting like really high goals. Like the B stance RDL was like a good one. Like I started with 20s and I wanted to get up to 100 pounds. And like,
dude, exactly.
I'd have been so fucking pissed if I got pulled out of my fucking training.
So pissed.
4 months in, because it took me almost fucking 10 months to get that. Like, no. Like I needed 10 months to get there, so don't fucking change it for 10 months. Like,
exactly.
You know
what? Exactly. Exactly.
And when it comes to my clients too, like if they're, I will put a note in there, like if I make a change per client's request, because when it fucking backfires, I will send them a screenshot of the back end saying, this is what you requested on this day at this time for X, Y, and Z reason, and see how it didn't work.
Yep. I will say with some clients, depending upon if they're Gen Pop or competitive, but even like more often than not, I do try to build in some level of autonomy, usually in their meals, because like I really want to encourage food diversity with fruits and vegetables. So it's like, listen, here's some smart swaps you can rotate through fruit, veg, fat sources, maybe protein sources if needed. Mm-hmm. But like for training, depending upon, again, who they are, I might let them be like, hey, listen, you can do a hack squat or a quad focus Smith setup. Or you can pick how you want to train your biceps or your quad, or your, not your quads, excuse me, your calves, like some level of variety, because I do appreciate the idea of having autonomy within their programming. I 100% understand how psychologically that can help an athlete take ownership and pride over their progress, which is important. But to some extent, when you're a competitor and you have goals to step on stage for a respective division, there are certain things that we need to have in rotation to bring up lagging body parts, to make you more competitive in your respective class. So it's like changing things just for the sake of changing things. Like if you need to be entertained, go to movies, like go hang out with friends, because that's also important, but don't get bored with your nutrition and your training. Because that's the wrong mindset to have. This is a fucking privilege and a blessing to do. So don't view it as, I gotta do hip thrust today, gotta do RDLs today. Cause like, dog, there are so many people that literally cannot move their bodies for one reason or the other that is out of their control. And every day that you get to wake up and choose to go to the gym, whether it's in your basement, your garage, or to Purple Planet Fitness for all I care, you are choosing to win today for yourself. Mindset and privilege is huge when you're a competitor.
Yeah, no. And I think that that's like, I think it's really misconstrued with like a lot of people, because like we always want like what's new and what's shiny. And that's just like society as a whole, like, you know, like new iPhones coming out and shit like that. And I think that's like why like coach hopping can be so popular sometimes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because people want, yeah, they want like what's new and what's shiny, or like, you know, like one person takes their athlete and they, you know, go all the way and get their pro card in like one season, and like it's a good coach no one's fucking heard about, which is fine because me and Ash are like on the lower coaching realm too.
Dude, for sure. Like no one knows who the fuck we are.
Yeah, no, that's just fine. But like what I'm saying is like those people are usually like genetic freaks. That like, you know, can go all the way in like one fucking season and like with a coach that hasn't been doing this for a very long time, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So with that being said, a lot of people are going to jump ship and be like, oh, I want to go to that coach, that's new, that's shiny, they just won, you know, the bikini overall, who is this guy or girl and X, Y, and Z. And it's just like you're just jumping ship because that's new and that's shiny, and you've been like not liking like what your coach was doing, even though what your coach is doing had the best interest in mind for you, but you were just quote unquote bored.
Yeah. And I will say there is some truth to on the other side of the coin of coach of clients wanting changes and not necessarily needing them. And there's also the other side of the coin of neglectful coaches, where maybe a client genuinely did need a change because biofeedback's going south, but because they have too many fucking athletes on their roster, it's no changes, good job this week. When like there are so many biofeedback red alerts where the coaches is just ignoring it because they're so overwhelmed with client check-ins that they're no longer coaching. They are copying and pasting. And that's absolutely prevalent in our industry and unfortunate that some clients and some athletes are not being cared for in the way that they should. But I did want to address that because that was something that I experienced. And again, it's on, there's two sides of the coin. There is athletes that want changes because they think changes equals progress. And there's also neglectful coaches that forget that their job is to coach people.
Yeah. I guess like the question would come down to is like, why do you want that change? Do you want that change?
You need it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, are you not seeing progress? But are you not seeing progress because, like, you're not following the plan? Mm-hmm. Or is it because, like you said, there is, like, biofeedback? Are you getting ignored?
Or is it time?
Oh, yeah. Like, I have a girl, like, genetics are just not in her corner. She's, like, lifestyle. And, like, it's just been, like, 4 years of, like, trying to build muscle. And she's made me put on, like, 4 pounds of it. And, like, she eats like almost 300 carbs a day. Like, you know, it's just like, she just needs more time. And like, we're getting there. You know, who's another great example of that is, you know exactly who I'm talking about. She just competed this last year. She's a real petite little thing. She works with Meredith. Oh my God. Is her name Sarah? Why can't I think of it? I'm having a huge blank. She wore purple on stage. She's one of Mark's athletes.
Oh yeah. Got you. Yeah.
Like, she's just, like, tiny, and she just needed a lot of time to grow. What is her name?
Sarah Bishop Ford.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. She's super smart, too, guys. If you guys don't follow her, you should.
Dude, her physique is very balanced, too. And that's something in bikini that's important, is to have that upper-lower balance. And then, bro, she got fucking hurt. She broke her foot. And now she's doing, like, I don't understand how she is programming for herself. But she's doing, like, some funky shit in the gym. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like crawling like a fucking bear. She's doing like deficit deadlifts. And I love that for her. I love seeing her like do other
shit, you know, like it's like a lot of, it's interesting. It's fun to watch her and have her like try that. But like I was saying, yeah, she just needed like a lot of time to like grow. Cause she was like, even like, she was real tiny like years ago, like for her first comp too. So it's like, yeah. And people get bored with that timeline of like, it's taking fucking forever.
But I have like, an announcement. John Jewett just commented on my recent post.
Oh, wow. What do you say?
I posted about how throwing away my Fitbit improved my biofeedback because, like, I used to obsess over biofeedback. And he just, he said rebel against Skynet.
John Jewett.
John Jewett cracks me the fuck up. So I'm going to put myself on blast. We had him on the podcast holding center when I did it with Britt. Mm-hmm. And when I took J3 University, I honest to God, and John, I'm sorry if you ever hear this. I doubt you ever will because I'm too cool or I'm not cool enough for you. But when I was going through J3 University, I told Eric, I was like, John Jewett has the personality of white burnt toast. Like, it was just so cut and dry and matter of fact. I was like, motherfucker, like, show me your personality so that way I can relate to you better and learn better. But once I had John on the podcast with Britt and I, like, he was able to, like, be more himself versus, like, on an educational professional platform. And I was like, oh, you're actually a funny motherfucker. And so now just, like, shooting the shit with him over Instagram is just so much more fun now because I'm like, oh, you actually, like, are a person. You're not just, like, a robot. You know what I'm saying? But, like, he cracks me the fuck up. Him and Renee both are just awesome people.
Yeah, because he is, like, really dry on his J3 University
stuff. Dude, it was so dry. I was like, bro, like, put some butter on that toast. Like, goddamn.
Literally anything. Even, like, the spray. Just, like, two sprays.
Just a little, I can't believe it's not.
Yeah. That'd be great. Like, that's all I'm asking, buddy. Like, fuck, man. It just, like, looks like he's, like, tense and, like, under pressure when he's talking. Like, he's, like, nervous he's going to say the wrong thing. I guess
he is, like, so smart. And, like, you have to think of, like, the pressure he probably puts on himself to, like, make this such good quality, accurate information when it's being recorded because of how many people are relying off of it because he's quite literally building up the next generation of coaches. So, like, honestly, if I were him, I'd be like...
I mean, that's what he looks like on some of those videos. And I'd be like, yeah, dude, like, Godspeed. Thankful it's you and not me, because I sound like an idiot when I talk. So
same.
There is that. I can't. Okay, so what were we talking about even before? I don't even
I'm sorry,
remember.
I got so excited that Daddy
No,
John
that's like so worth
comments
it. That is so. Oh, we were talking about timelines, I think, and like how long it fucking actually takes and why. Honestly, that's like, I think that's like a tough pill to swallow, because like also too, like the timeline is so misconstrued because of the fact that like pro athletes get on stage year after year. They don't really have long off seasons, you know, because they've already built this foundation, like especially bikini, because like once you have enough fucking muscle, like you don't really need to keep going for more and more. It's
It's
all
just
about
like
that.
little refinements at that
Yeah,
point.
it's just like about balance. So you don't really need to like grow. Like you obviously need to like maintain. I'm sure there's like, oh yeah, you could bring in more glutes, but like when you're already that dense, it's more so just like the fine tuning of like sodium, water, nutrition manipulations. It's not so much like, you know, where me and you were, where it's like, oh, you don't, you, those are pancakes back there. Do you have nothing? Like you need to grow those. Like that's where we're at. And that's why we've been in an off season since, I mean, what year is this for you? Like when was your last show? Mine was 2020.
The last time I stepped on stage was September and October of 2019.
Damn. Fucking damn, dude.
Dude, but I look sick. Like, I mean, you already look sick when you're in prep, and like
I mean,
not like a good
not like
sick.
a, not like a good sick
Yeah,
either.
like like
Yeah.
I definitely like, you know, it's, I hate to compare it to anorexia, like when you're deep in anorexia where you look like you need a feeding tube, but like I just had no baseline level of muscle and honestly should have like just done one show and packed it up, but I didn't. And that's my own cross to bear. But now that I'm actually taking myself seriously and like wanting to do right by myself in the sport, it's like, if Austin told me, listen, you still suck and you need another growth phase to be competitive for how I want to bodybuild, I'd be like, let's do it, dude. Fucking you're in control. Like you're steering us and I'll put the gas on where I need to do it. But like at the end of the day, at some point you also do just need to compete and just kind of see where you are and see where you stack up. Because even though bikini, you do need to have a baseline level of muscle, it is also about symmetry too. And so you just need to see where you, how you look, chief.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think like for you, it's like you've done so much growing. So now it's a matter of like, where do you stack up? Because you haven't competed in so long. And I know like for me, like, so I had like that first season in 2017 or 2018, and I knew I needed to grow, right? So then in 2021, I came back, saw where I stack up. I'm in second call outs for nationals. And that was, you know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, right? Yeah, 4 years ago almost. And it's like, the girls only got bigger in my class too. So I'm like, damn, like I know personally, I don't think I'd be as successful this season if I were to prep compared to like, you know, it's like, oh, do I just need to do it? It's like, I don't know. Like, you know, like for you, I think definitely, like, I think your time is coming soon because like you have done, and it's like, where do you stack up? Where I know is like, for me, like, yeah, that package was one, it was natural. Like I was not on any PEDs or fat burners or anything like that. So that's going to play a role in it. But like also too, it's like, I still feel like I didn't wasn't able to put on as much growth because I was pregnant and I was dealing with Hashimoto's for 2 years. So it's like my timeline's going to be a little bit fucking longer, and I'm okay with that because like I said at the beginning of this podcast, like I just like don't even feel like I'm deserving of it right now either, because I do have so many other factors that require like more attention than prep. Because prep, when I'm in prep, it's like game on, you know?
Exactly. But like a big question I feel like you should ask yourself is, do you really want to prep right now? And I feel like the answer would be no. I feel like there are things that you'd want to do with your life, both with your son and both with your business, where it's like to have to take a larger piece of your life pie chart and allocate it toward prep. I don't think you'd be happy in it. I could be wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you're happier right now with your life.
I mean, yeah, my life is pretty good. And like, I think it's just like, I'm still wrapping up some things. Like I literally am just at the tail end of like breastfeeding. Like I'm doing it once a day now. So it's like, I'd like to see where I'm at there. Like, you know, like once that simmers down and my kid's not doing that anymore, like, will I have more time? Will there be more areas that I can give, you know? So it's just like, yeah, like, I mean, it's funny you asked that because right before this podcast, I was kind of thinking about this. It's like, am I just so comfortable where I'm at and I'm not challenging myself for more because I'm like, oh, this is comfy. But then I'm like, oh, do I push myself? Like, do I want to push myself? you know? So it's like funny that you asked that because it's like, would you be happy? And it's like, I don't know, but like, am I hate being complacent too. Like, you know, and I feel like that's kind of where I'm at.
I really personally don't see complacency with how I see you living your life, and I know what you're doing behind the scenes. I see as someone who pushed her body to the point of sparking autoimmune to like creating a life that she loves to live. And there's nothing wrong with, I feel like the fitness community, especially the bodybuilding community, who is so aggressive, they look at complacency as and comfort as this weak-minded pussy bullshit. And like, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with being a US postal worker if that's where you're happy. You can challenge yourself in other areas and make progress in other areas, and you don't have to like mutilate yourself for the sake of like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Because like, you are uncomfortable. You are weaning your son off of breastfeeding. Like, that is going to be a huge emotional toll. Because I mean, this is something that I've heard, because obviously I don't have a child, but breastfeeding is a very intimate thing with your child. And having to let go of that is going to be challenging for you. So you are still being challenged. It's just not suffering on the stair mill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring that up because like I, you know, yeah, like being when you said like it's okay to be like, you know, a mailman and in other areas of your life improvement, it's like what how do you measure that? And I think for me, another reason that like prep is hesitant to me is because sure, the things that happen in prep are relatively fucking easy for me. Like I can be on the Stairmaster for 2 hours. I can do all my training, I can eat all my food, I can starve, I can I That's the easy shit. The shit that I worry about the most and the shit that I try and improve on each prep, like I did so much better in my second prep, but it was still a lot harder, was like still living life. And that's huge for me. And what do I mean by that? Is like still being able to see my friends because my first prep, I isolated so much. I didn't have the energy. A big one for me is not losing my fucking shit on everybody. And I try and be like way, and like these are the things that are very important to me in prep because those are the areas that need improvement. Because when you improve those areas of your life, then you improve prep automatically, right? I guarantee you your physique looks better, which is the main purpose, but also to like the quality of life and the enjoyment of prep increases. And that's maybe actually, I think we just found and figured out why on this podcast as to like why I'm like, ah, man, like I don't think I'm deserving. And it's because I know that sure, my prep would be great because we know me, I'm a robot, I can get that shit done. But my outside life would probably suffer. And like you said, I've spent so much time building up such an enjoyable life for me that, like, do I sacrifice that? And people are like, oh, you don't have to sacrifice that in prep. First of all, you have no fucking clue what happens in prep with everybody. And like, it does get fucking hard. So it's like, I'm not willing. And I know I get irritable and I am working on it. I've been in therapy for that. But like, in prep, like, it's a different beast, like, you know? So it's like, am I willing to sacrifice that mental sanity and peace at this time, right now, when I just got a good grasp on it, you know?
Exactly. And I feel like that's why a lot of people just love to stay and prep year round, because their real life is so fucking miserable,
Oh,
or like
it's
they haven't created an enjoyable life. And so it's like, because they don't enjoy the off season and their friends and their family and their flex, like they don't enjoy living their life. So therefore, they just use prep as an excuse.
Dude, I was gonna say that prep is a deflection. And I think that's why post-show blues is so fucking hard for people because one, like the hype of you being the center of attention for prep, one, drastically drops like 1 week after post-show. Like once you have your show, no one gives a fuck about you
Dude, on
anymore.
Monday, no one gives a fuck.
Dude, yeah, literally, like
Like, they
Sunday
want
morning.
to hear your judges' feedback, and that's about it.
Yeah. So if you can wait to like 4 days to post that judge's feedback, because you'll still be real big hype. And
Yeah,
then
your engagement goes.
whoa, yeah. It's like, yep, no one wants to see you. But so I think that's one of the reasons why. And then two, like prep is such a good excuse to like ignore everything. Like I can't deal with this. Like I have prep. Like, you know, or whatever is going on, you're like, oh, I'm just this way because of prep, because I'm starving. And it's like,
Oh.
well, then in the off season, when you're eating 3,000 fucking calories and you still have the same issues,
And you're still a fucking bitch. Like, that's a
like, yeah.
problem.
Like it wasn't prep. It wasn't the low food.
Wasn't prep, kid.
Okay, so what is it? Oh, it's me. Yeah, it's
It's
me.
me. I'm the problem.
Seriously, that's like the anthem for fucking reverse, because that's, I mean, that's essentially like what it is, like, you know. And I think that's why a lot of people struggle, is because, like, you know, it's either a deflection or like they just didn't have the life, or a good life, good quality life, or enjoy their life before getting into it. And like I said, I think like right now this is the first time where my life has been like great. And I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think prep would like make it worse, but I also feel like I just like wouldn't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, and I feel like that's honestly a good reason not to prep, because you want to prep because you're ready to present
Oh.
your physique. And if you're not
Yeah.
ready to present,
And that's what I told Mark too. And I was like, I need to make sure like all my boxes are checked before I get into prep. Like, I'm not moving. I'm not having all these lavish vacations. Like, do I have like, you know, like this year, obviously, like my brother and his fiance are getting married in Hawaii. Like, I couldn't. Relatively close to, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like not ideal, like at least for me. And it's like you have to make sure like everything is in alignment, because I feel like people just are like, all right, like let's just start this, and you don't understand like how much energy, time, and like emotional turmoil you go through during prep. So it's like you have all of that associated with prep, but then like the rest of your life is falling apart too. It's like shit, dude. Like it's a real big dumpster fire.
Yeah, it's one thing to be fluid and adaptable in prep when things pop up, but you don't want to go into prep knowing that like you have like skiing in the Alps in September, you have Hawaii in October. You know what I'm saying? Like you want to make sure that things in your day-to-day life are kind of like autopilot and routine, which is why prep again shouldn't be an on-off switch. It should be autopilot and routine with just near refinements, maybe removing free meals, maybe removing excessive condiments that you're not tracking, like whatever it is, like fine tuning for fat loss. But it shouldn't be this like red carpet, you know, you're getting the streamers, the balloons, you got Bozo the fucking clown. Like it's just another day. And you want to make sure you're giving yourself the best opportunity to be successful, because there's no trophy in suffering for prep. Like prep is already hard enough mentally and physically, like we're already talking about, but like you don't need to make it harder than it already is. Like you're not going to get a gold star from Sandy for that. Like the easier and more streamlined your prep is, the better your physique's going to look on stage, and that is what you're being judged on.
Yeah, like I think people just like to like bitch. I think actually like, do we follow someone? Did somebody post that the other day? Like, you don't get an award for like struggling as hard as you like. I think I saw that on Instagram. Someone was like, nobody cares how hard your struggle is, X, Y, and Z. Like, when you step on stage, you're not filling out like check boxes of like, yeah, like, you know, unfortunately, like my cat passed away. I broke a toe during prep. Like, you don't come in first place because of those things. Oh, I lost 70 pounds to get on stage today. Like, nobody cares. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, unfortunately, that's the reality of it. Like, you don't get an award for being the most miserable bitch up there. Like, that's
You
not what this
don't.
is.
And because that's not bodybuilding. Like people
No.
like legit, they forget like what the sport, the competitive sport of bodybuilding is. And it's a physique based on judging criteria for respective division with muscularity, like symmetry, balance, conditioning. Like that's what the sport is. But like how you get there, like that's based on the individual and their life.
And you have to like, another thing too that matters a lot when it comes to like life and stuff is like the support system you have. Like,
Or maybe don't have.
yeah. And I think that that's like really huge, because like if you have like a significant other that's like always like just saying how shitty fucking prep is and like how terrible it is for you and just like not supportive, like it's obviously gonna make that 10 times harder for you.
Exactly. I had a client, like I sent her Dr. Effie's like mental checklist for bodybuilding, because she is going to be prepping this year, and I sent it over to her and I was like, you need to look at this. And she gave me an idea to write like a little ebook based on like how people should support you. And while the idea was good, it's like it's on you for your prep to communicate and set boundaries and create a schedule and ask for support. But like I don't coach your as significant other. I don't coach your spouse. I coach you. It's your job to take ownership over your prep and your attitude and your actions and communicate. Like, I can't be a liaison to tell your significant other how to support you.
Oh, that's
Because like
not much.
I'm not getting in that. I'm not a marriage
No,
counselor.
that's like a thing too. Like you need to know what like your coach's like job description is, and that's not it.
Yeah, it's like, listen, like if you work with a therapist, that's a conversation you need to have with your therapist, which is great. Like I plan on doing that when the time comes, so that way I can be the best wife to Eric while I am prepping, because that's my job and my responsibility. Like, newsflash, I'm not getting a divorce the minute Austin's like, hey, we're gonna start prep, or hey, we're dieting. Like, I'm still a fucking wife. I'm still a fucking coach. It's my job to hold down the fort in my personal life, in my professional life, and in my prep life. That's on me, dog. Because prep is a privilege. Prep is earned.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And like, you know, I mean, it's just like I definitely it's definitely an earned thing for me too. And I just don't think a lot of people understand that. And like I think that's what definitely separates like higher tier athletes and lower tier athletes, because everyone like thinks, I think everyone like thinks like, oh, I just should deserve this and do it. And like, sure, you're more than welcome to do it, but like if you want to be held to like that higher standard and do it in the right way, then yeah, you should deserve it.
You're not a victim when you enter prep. You're
Yeah.
not. Like, you chose to do this, right? And when you choose to do something, you have to own the consequences that come. And again, consequences aren't always negative. There's a lot of great positives of prep too when it comes to developing that mental resiliency, but you're not a victim here. You're
Oh
not.
yeah. Yeah. I think about like honestly think about like motherhood with that, because like a lot of people like it's hard and it's difficult, but it's
Sure.
like I chose this bet. Like I chose to, you know, keep my son and keep my kid. So here we are. Like, you know, like and I'm not gonna play like, and I think that's like a huge thing for me as like a coach too, because like I get that it's hard, but I'm also not gonna let it be like an excuse or an evict like be in that victim mindset of like, oh, my whole life is ruined now because I had this kid, or I can't care about myself or fill my own cup up because I have to take care of a kid. And it's like, yes, like you do have to take care of a kid, but that doesn't mean you ignore yourself. Like that's
Yeah,
not an
like exactly. Like, things can just be hard. Like, they can just be hard. When you have big goals for yourself and big expectations, it is going to be harder than someone with lesser goals and lesser expectations. But hardship is not like a bad thing. It's not because it's hard because you fucking suck. You're a piece of shit. It's just hard. This is a hard thing, and there's nothing wrong with having things that are hard because you are ambitious, you have large goals, high expectations, but you have to go into them knowing that the difficulty that lies ahead is not there because you're incapable. It's just because you have yet to develop the strength and the growth to achieve your goal. But that's the whole point of being more process oriented versus being results focused. Because again, these things should be clockwork. It should be enjoyable because you have set a goal for yourself that you need to follow through on. But it's going to be hard, but it's also going to be worth it. You just got to stay in it to actually get that payoff.
yeah, people quit too early.
Dude.
And like that's like one thing that I'm like, especially in health phases, because mine was very long. And I just think about, holy shit, like what if I would have quit at like 7 months? I would have never gotten to the point of like bringing my antibodies down, getting pregnant, looking the way that I do now. Like if I would have just gave up, like I would have just looked like shit. And like it's hard because it's like people want that instant quick fix, but it's like, dude, it takes time. And then you're
See?
like, just because it's hard is when you want to quit, like, you know, and
Dude,
give
if
up, like.
you didn't quit, you wouldn't have your son. You would have an autoimmune disease still. You would likely still be almost a drunk because you could have quit on your sobriety.
Oh,
I could
yeah.
have quit and I would be likely 400 or 500 pounds now.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be sick. I probably have my own fucking autoimmune disorder just from like
Yeah.
my fucking Mickey D runs. And so it's
You would
like,
have like your risk for cardiovascular disease would be so
bro,
high.
I could even be dead for all I know. You know what I'm saying?
Seriously.
Like,
Like your cholesterol, if you would have been keep going down your McDonald's and Twinkies, would have
so I didn't
been
do
like
Twinkies. I did the other Little Debbie snacks, like the peanut butter ones.
wait, was it a like a rectangle?
Yes.
Like the Nutter Butters?
Yes, Nutter
Yeah.
Butters and Nutty Buddies. Yes.
Oh, okay, yes. Nutty Buddies. That's I think that's what it is. Yeah. What did I like? Oh, I think I liked Ho-Hos. I don't
You would be
know.
that person.
I know.
Oh, side note though, if you like snowballs, get the fuck out of this
Oh,
podcast.
is
If
that
you
what
like
coconut was?
snowballs, the only thing that snowballs are good for is like hitting against them like they're a butt or boobies. Because that's what I
Oh,
use snowballs for, is boobies.
you know what I liked? Okay, I'm looking at it right now. I like those zebra cakes. They were like the white cake with like, yeah.
Those are a solid C tier. Like if you're gonna eat a snack and you choose a zebra cake, I might judge you a little bit because I feel like it's just mid. It's
Yeah.
okay. But if you tell me you like snowballs, like get your snowball eating ass out of here.
So my tops were, yeah, Snowballs, not even, don't even make the chart. Don't get the fuck out of here. I liked the Nutty Buddies. Those were good. The peanut butter. Yeah. I definitely like those zebra cakes. I'm an oatmeal cream pie girl.
Oh, girl, hands down. Hands
Yeah.
down.
I'm trying to see what else they, oh, the Christmas trees. Oh, cosmic brownies. Where does that fall?
Oh, that's S tier. That's like it's like S tier for me are the Nutty Buddies, the Cosmic Brownies, and the oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah.
Those are like my free week before prep. Those are all getting consumed. Fuck it.
Dude, I cosmic brownies, like they're good, but there's no hype for me. Like I
Yeah,
don't.
like they're definitely like if you're gonna eat a brownie, I would hope to God you make like a Ghirardelli fudge brownie for yourself
Yeah.
to eat a brownie. Not go to like the Little Debbie snack aisle, but I mean, like, if you also don't know how to bake, then I don't know, I can't judge you too harshly, unless you eat snowballs, in which case you're getting judged harshly.
We will definitely judge you on definitely. Oh, last one, and then we can wrap it up. But what about those like this crunchy ones? It looked like it had like cocoa pebbles on the outside. It was like a circle. It was
Oh,
like
yeah,
something.
those were the chocolate was just not it for me. I like the texture, not the chocolate.
I never had one, but I'm asking like.
Yeah. Like again, I'm a texture. I appreciate it for what it is. It's not life changing, but it doesn't deserve higher than a B tier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got
I guess
you.
I definitely think that yeah, Nutty Buddies is probably the top. I do like oatmeal cream pies though. Ooh, that's good shit.
It's good shit.
But then I think like right now, if I were to eat one, I'm like, ew, my stomach would hurt. No, thank you.
Although you probably should be eating them, considering you got a food bump.
Oh my God, I don't know. Yeah, that food has been terrible. It's been like my recovery and my sleep has never been like better. And I'm like, wow, I've like physically feel good, but then I'm like, I feel like I'm eating all fucking day long. I'm like, this is terrible.
Welcome to
Terrible.
off season, BB.
Yeah, I finally made it, Ma. I
I made
made
it,
it.
Ma.
Fucking made it. Off season, actually eating like a big girl. Imagine that.
Big girl macros, big girl booty. Just saying.
I hope so. I fucking hope so. Stay tuned. That's the goal. 2025. Big booty.
Big booty Judy. I love it. So, what are you thankful for? And we'll wrap it up here.
Ooh, I love that we do thankful, grateful, or yeah, gratitude at the end. Let's see, what am I grateful? I'm actually very, very grateful that my work has been so busy because it means I'm helping a lot of people.
Oh,
And
yes.
whether it, that doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, I had like obviously December was like a slower month, but it's just like busy because people are asking questions, they care, they want to know, they want to learn. So it's good that I'm like having like a lot of videos to review, a lot of questions about nutrition and things like that. So it's good. I'm very grateful that I am busy, and then I'm also busy with just being a mom and a girlfriend and, you know, a sister and daughter, because it just shows that I have a really good family that wants to be around and I have people to take care of. What about
Shows
you?
that you have a really good life because you have
Yes.
what matters, and that's family, friends, your health, business success, like focusing on the good stuff. And I love that for you. I am thankful for the fact that even though we did not go up and see my family for the holidays because we chose to stay here, we are going up on Thursday to surprise my grandma for her 80th birthday.
Oh my God. Ooh, excuse me. That's gonna be so awesome.
Yes.
Are they throwing like a party for her?
It's like just a small little quaint thing for like just the nuclear family for the most part, just because like, it's a fucking blizzard up there. Y'all got like a billion inches of snow. But it's still
Yeah.
going to be good. It's going to be small and intimate, but still, it's going to be a nice surprise just because, again, like turning 80 is a big deal. And just because
Yeah.
parents, grandparents, and parents are just like such an amazing gift. And especially like as you get older, they are still aging and getting older themselves. And so just kind of like solidifying any final memories you can take is just, it's so good. And I'm really excited, even though it's going to be cold as tits up there.
Yeah, you're not used to it. Does anyone know that you're coming?
My mom does, and
Okay.
his family, Eric's family does, just so that way we can like coordinate logistics. But again, my grandparents don't. So that's going to be a surprise.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear all about it. It'll be so awesome.
Yeah.
Hopefully she doesn't shit her pants with excitement.
I hope she does.
Yeah, you know.
I bitch, I hope the fuck she does.
I mean, me too, but I really don't want her to do
Listen,
that,
I'm
but
someone worth shitting your pants over.
I mean, yes, you are. As a matter of fact, you are. That's fucking hilarious.
I love it. Any final thoughts or considerations before we wrap up this cesspool?
No, but stay tuned to next podcast so we can find out if Granny shit her pants or not.
Oh, word, word. But guys, in the meantime, adios.
Peace.